Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, September 24th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my mother effing brother, John Abaya.
Hell yeah, I'm your brother. I'm your twin brother, or TB. Yeah, TB forever, for life, right?
Ben? Is it
TBL?
TB4L. TB4L.
Yes, TB4L. Or T4L. Did you know? Did you know? You remind me of TBR or TRL is coming back to MTV. I seen a commercial like randomly, yes. And I did not know they stopped doing that. And then
yeah,
I
they stopped doing that like commercial. Almost 15 years ago.
Or yeah, 10 I did years not ago, know probably. That. And then I saw a commercial. I was at someone else's house. I don't have cable here. And then MTV showed up, and then they have a commercial of like all the musicians saying. TRL, TRL, TRL.
Is it like October even 10th. Recordings of the old TRL, or is it new?
No. It's just regular. Like I don't really know any of the artists. I think that redhead dude from Game of Thrones was on it. The one has a tiny part in one of the episodes this season with Arya. He's about.
She's oh,
about
you mean to, like, the musician? Poke. He's not an actor.
Yeah, the musician. Oh, he's not. No. I'm saying that he's. He is an actor in that show. Yeah. You know, he's acting.
Did you say it? Never mind.
No, I said they're all musicians who are saying it, but I don't know his name. I know he has like a hell of songs out on the radio, but yeah, he was on there, and yeah, they were just saying
Edgar.
TRL.
Is it Edgar? Something. I forgot his name now.
I do not know.
I know his name. He actually makes
my kids love him though. I was
like, Edward something Snowden. Edward Snowden.
No, really, Edward Snowden was on Game of Thrones.
It was Edward. I'm pretty sure
the Lannisters files to the public.
Yeah, I'm pretty. Really, he's a whistleblower in the show.
Yeah,
whistleblower. That song was actually. Fun fact: the song he sang wasn't even meant to be for like the soldiers to sing. It was supposed to be like a song that only. Like people of royalty would know or something like that. I forgot how I remember.
Was that song originally for Game
of
Thrones?
I think that song. I think it is.
That's cool.
I forgot which one it was. But one of in the books, I was told that they have lyrics to songs and you're supposed to like sing. And then I guess Edward Snowden sang it there.
You mean in the books they portray it as a song? You know how like
no, in the book they literally have like lyrics to songs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so he was singing.
Yeah, I think.
Speaking of songs, now I don't know.
Wait, what?
There's no segue to the to anything else.
No, I don't think where to segue that. If you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is actually we're just going back to the 17 freaking awesome things of 2017. We've only had 12 things. It's almost end of the year and we only came up with 12 things.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned for that. I will also reread the list for those listeners who have forgotten about all of that. Other than that, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk comes from a video game franchise that is very popular. This week's trailer is Tomb Raider.
You shouldn't have come here. But I'm glad that you did.
What do you know about my father?
Now I see the likeness. The recklessness. Close the tomb once and for all. The fate of humanity is now in your hands.
Can't be too careful these days. The world has gone bloody mad.
I'll take two.
Like I said, it is a clip. That is a clip from Tomb Raider, the reboot. From the video game franchise, I think the last time we've seen this on the silver screen was Angelina Jolie portrayed Lara Croft. Now it's been 10 years since the last Lara Croft film, and I think because the enthusiasm with the character and the franchise has been a little bit more uplifting because of the mm-hmm. Crystal Dynamics games. But yeah, John, what's your thoughts about... Oh, wait. Before all that, actually, we just describe who's starring and who's directing it. The director...
An IMDb partner.
Director is Roar Utang, which I believe is a Nigerian director, whose last film is The Wave, which you could actually watch that, I believe, on a streaming device. And I think I saw it on Netflix, or is it...
Yeah. Yes, I've seen it too on Netflix. I haven't watched it. I've seen the poster, or whatever you call it.
Yes, image. Yeah. It's supposed to be one of those like crazy like 2012 films, but a foreign mm-hmm. foreign film. Like I don't think it's an American film, too.
No.
It's from IMDb. This is the plot synopsis. Laura Croft, the fiercely independent daughter of a missing adventurer, must push herself beyond her limits when she finds herself on the island where her father disappeared. That sounds like a plot that we always see in films. Mm-hmm. This is starring Alicia Vikander, which I've seen her last is Ex Machina, or even the Jason Bourne movie. I think I've seen her. Walton Goggins, Daniel Wu, and once again, he was in our last trailer talk two weeks ago, Dominique West, famous for The Wire and other films he's in. John, I think we were fans, or at least we've dabbled into the franchise here and there, because we weren't really raised with a PlayStation. So your thoughts on this new trailer, and what's your relationship with the character Lara Croft in the franchise?
I've played, I think, the first three games of Lara Croft before the reboot, and I enjoyed it. They were fun little shooters and whatnot, and little platformers. I played the newer one that released by Crystal Dynamics. I haven't finished it. I probably won't finish it. I really liked it, though, while playing it, but it wasn't really... it wasn't worth my time investing in it. And this trailer seems more to that. It's almost like a not shot to shot, but a familiar story to the video game, where she's this college student going on an adventure, and her boat crashes, and she's on the island, and she even has her little axe. I don't know what the appropriate name for that, the little axe in the trailer. But yeah, then she even has the exact same outfit in the video game too. They even changed that a little bit. I was really surprised, and I feel like this, if you like the game of the remake, you will like this movie probably. And it's a weird, oddly line you have to balance on that, because it can go both ways. It might remain too familiar to fans, or like the Assassin's Creed route where it's too far from like what fans think of. Like, I don't know. I watched probably some of Assassin's Creed, and I don't know anything about Assassin's Creed really, but it looked too familiar to the video games. Like, it didn't feel like it was different. But this one seems exactly the same thing. I don't know if I'm going to watch this. I'm not a huge Tomb Raider fan, but I'm happy that they have a representation of her on the big screen. I felt like it's time to move on from the Angelina Jolie thing. And I think that was a good time. Is this movie made by Sony, right?
It's still Sony. And I even see Square Enix, if you looked at it.
Oh, yes. So to me, Sony property always had this weird, like, special effects. And this one shows it. Like, there's a scene similar to, like, the Resident Evil movies and whatnot, where these things are... what do you call it? These round or rolling spikes. And there's like a scene where it's slow motion, how she almost missed it. I wish the action scenes are very like unique, but it doesn't seem like it. It seems like the same thing all over and all over in this trailer. And there's like one thing you pointed out on Twitter, that she leaps a lot in this trailer. And I don't know. It just, if you notice that right away, I don't know how the action set pieces will be differ from other pieces. I really hope she dons the two guns in the trailer. They like tease that, and hope that's not like the last scene, because that's kind of corny in my opinion if that was the last scene, because that's teasing something that we know of Tomb Raider, with her dual pistols, but we'll see. I hope it explains more of her, how she learns all her like acrobatics and basically survival skills. I hope she is that type of person in the movie and not just like this Terminator type character that no one can kill her and whatnot. Hopefully it's a good movie for the fans.
It's my mistake. It's actually developed in Warner Brothers, or it's being distributed by Warner Brothers.
Even though it has that same special effects, I don't know. I don't know who does the special effects part.
I mean, Square Enix is still like one of the production companies. Probably they have a little, they probably rendered and created the visual effects.
It's more of the action sequence. It's something that you've seen always in like action movies like this that doesn't really impress me anymore.
It seems like this is a film universe, technically.
What?
I'm just reading about a bunch of stuff. Like, this is a film universe with Just Cause, Hitman, Deus Ex, and Thief, which is all, I believe, I want to say, are they all Square Enix properties? No, they're not.
Say those games again?
Just Cause, Hitman, Deus Ex, and Thief.
I know Deus Ex, Hitman. I don't know. I know of Steve and other, but I don't know if they were made by Square Enix. I mean, they probably are, more likely, but I know Hitman and Deus Ex was
made. Yeah, they're all made from Square Enix. So they're creating a film, a Square Enix film franchise.
Are you serious? Yeah. Are you joking now?
I'm like looking into it right now.
they have said this, or people are just speculating?
The one of the producers, Adrian Ascaria, was interviewed in IGN, and then he said that there will be a film universe that's connecting all five of those properties.
And really? The start of it. Oh, wow. Now. So here
he's one of the producers, too.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to watch this anymore.
I don't want to support Square Enix cinematic universe. So how would that translate? It's S-E-C-U.
You.
S-E-C.
Oh, yeah. S-E-C-U.
It's almost sounding like sex. Sex you. Yeah, kind of. It's kind of weird.
They should call it Pixel Universe something. They should like combine. Why stop at Square Enix? I mean, they can do the Final Fantasy games, I guess.
Yeah, they could, actually. That axe you're talking about is called a climbing axe, or in some areas, an ice axe, or an old pry tool.
Okay.
I'm just going to kind of echo exactly what you said. It's basically emulating the Crystal Dynamics 2013 Tomb Raider game, which is playing it safe, I think. The difficulties of adapting a video game into film is being faithful, especially for the source material. It is great to be faithful, but also being exactly the same is probably going to be disappointing for fans. I will take an example. It's not a video game into film, but it's a comic book adaptation to film, is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And I think they did a wonderful job where both sources feel unique and the characters feel unique, that they don't have to go by, you know, one-to-one with everything.
But I think the difference is because video games is such a
cinematic,
like, visual media. Almost like film. Everyone could compares it to film as like the
thing
to compare, like, more than anything. But it's just really hard to make a good video game movie.
I'm gonna take it back to like the times where like Super Mario Brothers, or was it just called Mario Brothers? I think it was just called Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. I think what makes those essentially like at least good films to watch is that they were going for the aesthetic of, I guess, how the world was built in their video games, but translating it into like film. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew, like, this is going to be corny, guys. This is not going to be like, you know, high art type of film, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think taking, like, stepping back and just appreciating and knowing what it is, I think when filmmakers take the serious route and make like a big action film, and we've seen that with Prince of Persia, and what was last year's film that came out? Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Like, those films are a little bit too serious, and I feel like they... I didn't watch those two films, actually. I'm going to be honest.
I kind of like Prince of Persia a little bit, but it was very goofy.
Yeah, especially the whitewashing of it.
That was goofy.
Okay. And if people don't know, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is not Persian, and it's just kind of weird that he was called Prince of Persia. I don't think he's...
He was only the white person in the... No.
No, I don't think that's entirely true.
No, I'm trying to think who played the villain. I think it's that same guy who always plays villainous roles in movies. He's always typecast as one.
I don't know who you're talking about at all.
Let's not talk about Prince of Persia.
It's Prince of Persia. I was thinking, like, what is Jake Gyllenhaal's, like, ancestry and everything. He's Swedish. I guess that's the closest thing to Persian. Anyway, but, like, taking those films and adapting it is quite difficult when you're trying to be faithful, and I think that's impossible to do, and it will just be disappointing. I mean, granted, this film isn't out yet, so we have to all reserve our judgment, but I just really want to see how this is translated. I think everyone involved is great. I'm a fan of Alicia Vikander. I love her in Ex Machina, and Dominique West. I don't think I've seen Walton Goggins, or I've probably seen him in things, but I trust the director, and it's, you know, handful of writers. So looking forward.
Nick Frost is in it.
No. Yeah, he's in it. I mean, they needed a British character anyway. It's in, I trust it that they're gonna be, it will be good, but I don't think it will be like the best video game. I still save that with Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers is a great adaptation, if you ask me.
Have you read the comic book sequel to
But I remember the video game sequel to it.
Okay.
And
wait, there's a video game.
Or am I mixing it with Street Fighter? Remember, there's a Street Fighter.
I think you're mixing it with Street Fighter. Yeah. I don't think they ever made, like, a live-action version or video game based on that universe.
Okay.
Until Odyssey comes out when you're...
Yeah. But, yeah, speaking of video games, John, you played something. What did you play?
I played a new game. It's an old game from 2014, back when Nazis were really bad. I played...
Can I correct you?
Oh God!
I think some are good Nazis.
Oh yes, they're fine.
I was told there are some good Nazis out there.
Yes, there are fine Nazi people. But I'm just in this game, every Nazi is bad, and I love it. It's developed by Bethesda Software. I'm really saying that word wrong, and developed by Machine Games. I'm talking about Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Captain Blaskowitz, still fighting after all these years.
I want this with you, always.
In the end, we will be judged, not by what we have destroyed, but what we have created.
What the fuck did I just do?
Mayhem and destruction, like what you always do. It's just you doing you.
So, I played this game only because I'm really excited for Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, that's coming out this year. I'm not sure if they go push that back, but either way, I'm really excited to play that game, so I wanted to play the game before it, and I'm not going to play the other ones before that, like the Castle of Wolfenstein and whatnot. I'm just going to play this one. I don't know anything about Wolfenstein. I remember playing it as a kid on a computer one day, on someone's computer, not our computer, and I enjoyed it. It's maybe one of my first exposure to first person shooter next to I think it is Wolfenstein and Myst. Those are the two. You continue the story playing as William BJ Blaskowitz. Don't tell me what the BJ stand for. I'm assuming B's Bill or something. I don't know. Really. Yeah, and it's a first-person shooter, and you're going against Nazis, a world overrun by Nazis. They won the war, World War II. The game takes place in 1960, and it's a typical first-person shooter, but I really like the story and all the characters in it. the game takes place, I'm assuming, in Europe, that I can tell right now, because I remember watching the trailer for Wolfenstein 2 and it takes place in America. So knowing that Wolfenstein 2 exists, I know BJ won't die and whatnot. So I'm not really going for that. I just want to see this interaction among the different characters in the game. And there is a lot of cool resistance character that I thought that really fleshed them out really well. I haven't finished the game. I'm probably 6 hours in, but I'm really enjoying it. A lot of mechanics in the game, I was really surprised, is mostly hunting down items for people. There's like this little area in the game where you're in the resistance bunker, basically. And most of the time you're in there, you can't really shoot or do anything. So you're just fetch hunting stuff around the complex where they hide and deliver it to the people to push the story. I'm not the type of person who like reads folders and whatnot, like pieces of paper or news clippings in games like this. This one has hell of them. I have no time to do that. I wish... they basically did voiceover when I'm reading it, but they don't do that. That's fine. I don't really mind it. But overall, right now, I'm really enjoying it. It's just a fun game of just shooting Nazis, and then I like the game gunplay. It's really accurate, I guess you could say. It's not too like Call of Duty ish to me. I don't know. With Call of Duty, it's hard. I don't like it with like really open areas. This one's more of you're in a small area in the room, clear the enemies, more like in vain, like Halo, where until you clear all the enemies, then you move on. I don't mind that type of storytelling. And yeah, I'm just really enjoying it right now to kill some Nazis in 2017.
Yeah, I played some of it too. I think I'm only like 4 hours in. What stage did you stop in?
I if you said 4 hours in, so you're in the part where you have this family.
Yeah,
right?
What do you call that? That game mechanic, not mechanic, but thing you do usually. Mission.
Escort mission right now for you. There's not a lot of that I notice in the game. I mean, there is some, but not as like that one in the.
My only quibbles about it is that you have to find health and ammo a lot. Like sometimes you just run out, and I don't know what to do unless I have to reset the whole game again. It takes me a while to figure out how to defeat some of the enemies. That's why.
Yes, and they're not really lenient on health and ammo. I mean, it scatters around, but you use that up quickly in this game after you're getting shot by them. And although when I'm running, all I do is press X the whole time, picking up anything. I don't have no idea what is it for. I know it's for a gun I have, so
yeah. But yeah, that is Wolfenstein the New Order, which is out on every console, I believe, because it came out.
Yes, I think it's on everything. Even the old consoles, Xbox 360 and PlayStation. Yeah,
and then I think we're just preparing ourselves for the new game, which is titled, what was the title?
The New Colossus.
The New Colossus. Colossus? Yes. It's really called Colossus?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was just like, I thought it was something else. Huh. Interesting. Moving to something with more guns, I guess you could say. This week, a film came out that I think most people were anticipating for. I watched Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Let's get started.
We've got brains, skills, skipping rope.
It's a lasso.
That is a clip from the trailer, The Golden Circle, directed by, once again, Matthew Vaughn, which is starring Colin Firth, Julian Moore, Tyrone Egerton, Mark Strong, Halle Berry, Pedro Pascal, Channing Tatum, and Jeff Bridges. I think that's everybody in that trailer. I don't think there's
No,
there is no cameos. Wink, wink. Anyway, when this is the plot synopsis from IMDb. When their headquarters are destroyed and the world is held hostage, the Kingsman journey leads them to discovery of an allied spy organization in the U.S. These two elite secret organizations must band together to defeat a common enemy. John, who do you think is the common enemy in this film? Out of that cast list, the call sheet.
The common enemy. Yes. I judging by the cast or the trailer.
By the trailer, who was it?
I have no idea. I couldn't really tell who was the enemy.
That's
in the
what
thing. Seems like.
Go on.
It seems like no one in the trailer. I mean, he's shooting someone. I mean, in the trailer, the building blows up. So someone's shooting it. So I'm assuming it's an evil organization that knows about the Kingsman.
That just pops up in the sequel, but wasn't there in the first film.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like when films do that. There's other sequels exactly like that when they do that.
Yeah. It's Julianne Moore. Like, she's actually the big bad here.
Is that a spoiler?
No, it's not. It's
okay.
Yeah. I think she's in one of the other trailers too. The last film it was Samuel Jackson, and I think they hired these more prestige actors. I guess not prestige, but like known for that. Samuel L. Jackson might be well known to like ham it up, but this is Julianne Moore just being hammy. Like she's not taking this. She's taking the role serious, but not as serious as like a Oscar nominated, you know, film would have had. Overall, I think the film is more what made the first one successful, but this time it's just a little bit more bloated and drowned with plot. And what I mean plot, they revisit several plots from the first film and just reintroduce them again. Then it started to crumble when there's like these unnecessary interactions with characters. And a rehashing of the same maniacal plan that Samuel L. Jackson had in the first film. So think of it like...
With the weather?
It's not weather. You're mixing the Avengers now.
Oh, the Avengers.
The first film, the British Avengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
actually, it is probably the weather, was it? I don't know, actually. The first film, I think I found the first film to be good was the action set pieces. And then, like, everything else I kind of forgot. I mean, they had memorable characters like Samuel Jackson, but, like, the plot was not as memorable. And this time around, it's doubled that. But I feel like it's just too much of everything now. It's more of a waste of a time when there's unnecessary interactions. When I mean that, like, there are characters here introduced and no longer, or who don't pay that much of, doesn't really affect the plot as much. Until later, but at the same time, I don't think it's necessary. I always think of films, especially when you have to deal with plots of films. If you could it's like a game of Jenga. If you remove this, this plot, will the whole story fall? Or if I could remove it and it will still stand up, you know what I mean? And I think there are several bricks you could remove. There are several plot points you could remove that was not necessary. And it made the film longer than it is. The first film was about under 2 hours long. And this film is all more like 2 hours and almost 30 minutes long. And
I think that's a very long film.
They could cut it under two hours and still be successful. And it's just them introducing and removing like characters that I liked in the first film, which is weird. The set pieces are also still good, but after the first couple, like the first 30 minutes, it's just, you're just, you know, revisiting the same set pieces and same camera style and the same fight sequences, and it gets really, like, you know, dumbed down again. The final confrontation is unique and pretty dope. It is, the setting and location is really good. Let's just say that it is something that you don't see in the trailers, so it's a good surprise when you're not spoiled. But overall, I say if you're a fan of the first one, you'll probably really enjoy this one. But if you're lukewarm about the first one, you probably won't like this at all. Plus, they do something. This probably has to deal with like more politics when it comes to films, but they introduce a woman character or female character, and then they don't do anything with her, and I feel disappointed with that because it's just, you know, a boys club again, and it's really disappointing. They did a good job in the first one with one of the henchmen or henchwoman to be a really memorable character, but this time around it's not excuse me, hold on, John. But this time around the henchmen were not that great. If anything, they try to make it as memorable, but it's really dumb. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is it for the Kingsman, the Golden Circle.
Can I ask you something? Does it seem like, unlike the first one, does this seem like it's leading to a third one?
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. It ends in a very like, oh, this is going to be a third one, and it could be another country.
Because the first one felt like a standalone movie.
Yeah, and then it should have been. And I was reading that the studio wanted Colin Firth to be in this one, but Matthew Vaughn didn't want it to be. But because he was such a great character, they retcon that whole... It is really dumb what they're doing with the character. Like, the way they bring him back. It's one of those things where... the way they bring them up, it's like, well, that means anyone that is killed by whatever, getting shot in the head, anyone could be coming back like that. Then you just introduce another a dumb plot device that you don't need. But I would say this is not really a spoiler, but don't expect Channing Tatum to be in this that long. He doesn't die. It's just he's hardly in it, and I felt like. In the trailer, they kind of showed him. Pedro Pascal, who's a great actor, he did a great job. But I mean, even his thing was like underwhelming too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of wasted great actors here, if you ask me. But yeah, moving on to something I also watched the week previous. Previously on, because we didn't record an episode, so I watch a film that is very controversial right now, and majority of people probably don't like. The film is called Mother. Oh, wait, I have to do this again, John. The film is called Mother!
They've come here to see me.
Come quick!
Bring life into this house. Open the door to new people, new ideas.
I'm so sorry.
Get out of my house!
You give and you give and you give.
It's just never enough.
That is a clip from Mother, written and directed by Darren Aronofsky. Aronofsky. Yeah. I was like,
I thought you were going to yell his name. Aronofsky. Yeah.
I think we talked about this in trailer talk. So really quick, the plot synopsis from IMDb. A couple's relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disputing their tranquil existence. It's starring Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, and Michelle Pfeiffer, and other cast members that I think is a little bit of like a surprise. We talked about this trailer in a previous episode. Now I watched the film, and let me just say, without spoiling anything, that it's a bold film. It's daring, it's thrilling, and very compelling. But it's not for everyone. It is a film that was advertised as this like really for the masses, you know. Anyone can see it, but it's really just an art house film again. It's an independent art house film, costs under $30 million. And I think them promoting it as being this, like, I think there's a trailer before it that says, you don't want to miss the most controversial film of the year. And then it's a really cool trailer, but like people watching it will come into this thinking like, this is not as like scary or controversial as I think it is, but it is controversial in some parts, but not as controversial if you've watched so many films. Probably for those who are not like cinephiles, probably will be shocked. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say. it's one of those films where it's the viewer is interpreting how they want to be interpreted. It's an allegory of several things. And if I even say what it could be, I think it will ruin the experience. I went in here cold, not knowing anything about the film. I didn't know what everyone's thoughts were. And I think I enjoyed it more because I came out interpreting how I thought what the film is talking about, like what are the themes. And there are some obvious ones, and there's some non-subtle ones. But there are a lot of, you know, subtle ones and non-obvious ones, especially if you don't know what the allegory is for, and connecting it all together is it will, the reveal and the resolution of it all, I think, is will surprise you. But yeah, I think I kind of hinted some stuff with you, John, when I talked about it with you, but hopefully it doesn't ruin the spoiler. I will say, do not watch this with anyone that you love. I say watch it with someone.
I don't know what that means. Is that why it's controversial? The person will die?
No, I think it's not a good like date movie or like a couple's movie.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
It's a lot of arguments and misunderstandings and whatnot.
Is this by experience or by what you heard?
I watch it by myself, but I think bringing someone who's not exposed by Darren Aronofsky's film filmography, he does a lot of like he's basically a provocateur. It's someone who's like provoking some he wants something out of you, whether it's something you feel that you are offended or that you feel angry or that like his films usually do that to people. And then I remember when I watched Pi and Rec Room of a Dream, I was like, I think I've watched all his films just once. I could never revisit his films because it just has this emotion where I could like be upset or I really like The Wrestler. I think that one's a really great film. And well deserved because I think he won an Oscar for that. But like Black Swan, Requiem for a Dream, Pie. I think Noah is really an underrated film. I don't know if you watched that yet, John, but I'll highly recommend if you're an Aronofsky fan, but if you're not, stay away. But yeah, that's it. But moving on, I think that is what we did this past week. That's Mother, that is out right now, and The Kingsman, The Golden Circle. Also, The Golden Circle, really quick, is a really bad title.
Is that significant for
something? Yeah, but it's really minor. Like, they could have just called it something else. They could have just called it Kingsman 2, and that could have been better.
I wonder if the comic book, it's based, I don't know if there is a comic book based on it, but I wonder if that's the title
that could be. Or something. So moving on to our main discussion, this week's main discussion is the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017. Really quick, if you are a new listener, this is from 1 to 12. This is what we came up this year. So the the requirements to be on this list, it has to be new. It has to come out this year. And I think that's all. And then
it doesn't have to officially come out too. Like we have player unknowns.
Battleground, but it did come out this year. That's what we're trying to say.
Yes.
So really quick, this is no order. There's no real order to it. Like number one isn't the best thing. It's just a list. We have Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, Ren Hung, which is the late great photographer who died. Get Out, the film, Samurai Jack, the TV show, which returned this year. John Wick Chapter 2, which is a film. Master of None Season 2, which is a television show on Netflix. SpaceX. This is always a weird one. Reuse of a Rocket, which was launched in March 30th, 2017. Rick and Morty's April Fool's episode. Player Unknown's Battleground, which is a spectating. Just want to specify that. Not playing it, but spectating. Kendrick Lamar's album, Damn. And Desus and Mero's Viceland's television show, which is... If you don't know the Bodega Brothers, who have a podcast, they created a TV show for Viceland, which is Desus and Mero. So adding to this, John, whatever thing you're going to add to this list?
I want to add someone on the list. We haven't had someone since Ren, right? That's the last one. Oh, no. I guess Desus and Mero counts as one person. Ren Hong and Desus and Mero. Basically, I want to add this person because I think it's the, I think on my review of the movie, I said this person's the heart of the movie, and I really enjoyed everything the kid did in the movie, especially the ending and his one-liners and whatnot. I want to add Finn Wolfhard character, Richie Tozer. So not even the not the actor. I want to add the character, Richie Tozer, basically, from the movie It.
That is a great character. I think because of how surprising he is. I'm in the middle of reading it, the Stephen King novel. And yeah, he is supposed to be the funny and wisecracking character. And I think because it's set in the 80s, they had more liberty of having him being more raunchier and just out mm-hmm. there. And
he mimics that 80s type of
yeah, humor. Of a child and whatnot, where yes. anything you say goes and whatnot. And it's one of those friendly humors. I think the last time we've seen this type of, I guess, banter between friends is, what's that other Stephen King film? They found a dead body. Stand by Me.
Yeah, yeah. Stand by Me.
But yeah, is that it? You
just... yes, I just want to add the character Richie Tozer.
Cool. I'm going to add, really quick, and it's an experience I had this past year, is I attended the concert of the XX, the mm-hmm. Now You See Me tour, which is one of the best tours I've best concerts I've attended. Just the way they use their lights, the stage production is really great. They use these mirrors and lights, and then using them both, just really the reflection of every or reflectors of everything was really great. It's one of those experiences, especially we watched it. My girlfriend and I watched it at a smaller venue, not like, you know, an arena, mm-hmm. but it's a venue that probably fit like only like 500 people or less. And then just the atmosphere is really great when you see a really small band, not small band now, but like a band that's not like, you know, getting radio airplay, perform something like that, which is weird now because they're doing their second leg on their tour, which is now in arenas. So they've gotten popular all of a sudden. But yeah, so the XX Now You See Me tour. Is it Now You See Me too? See You Now, I think it is called.
I think you added them too last year, right? To the list?
Of their album, I think.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think. I don't know. I totally forgot our list last year. So that is, we're adding that as 12 and 13, 13 and 14. So we have about three more things, John, to add. Unless you have one right now again.
No, I don't have any.
Cool. So
unless
so that is our episode. Thank you again for listening. John, where can they find you in the interweb?
You can find me spinning my web around the internet on Twitter at AbayaArts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can also find us on Facebook with the same name. You can find us on Twitter at TFA Now. Once again, it's TFA Now. That's where we usually are at mostly. And then you can find all these episodes on iTunes and any podcast app that you subscribe to. Please leave a comment and anything. We actually had a fan that delivered something. I didn't have time yet to read everything about it. Oops, I cannot look for it. I'm trying to look for it right now. His name is Joel Barber. And we are very, very fortunate to get one of his designs, which is called Million Dollar Underwear. And we're going to probably talk about that next week. It's not going to be like a formal review, but it's more like a shout out of a fan. He written this. People don't know what are vines. It's like magazines, but they're more independent and more of an artistic work, if anything. But yeah.
More like just even small, and it feels like so not a machine that made it.
Yes. But yeah, the artwork looks great, and I haven't really dived into it yet. I'm trying to find time. But yeah, and then I think he just announced his second issue, so we're looking forward to this. We're going to talk about this. It's not going to be a main discussion. It's more like a shout out, and we're just going to discuss it next week. Not in too great detail, but, you know, talk about the Zen overall. But yeah, thank you to Joel Barber for for this. And hopefully we'll talk about it next week. I think that's it, John. You have anything else to say?
Thank you to Joel.
Okay, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.